In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. It is St. Thomas Sunday in the Orthodox Church, the Sunday after Pascha, of the celebration of the life-giving death and resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. We have just heard of the doubt and confession of the Holy Apostle Thomas. He who had disbelieved because the news of the risen Lord was just too good to be true. It was a test for St. Thomas. We have been tested as well in these recent days. We have had the test of Lent and Holy Week and now Pascha and Bright Week. And by the way, our young people were a great inspiration during the holy days, walking through the, working through the pressure of tests and finals in college and school during Holy Week, and still attending as many services as possible. With any test, there's a pass-fail concern and a grading concern about the grading factor, which predominates one's motivation and worry going into his test. But the broader perspective in the aftermath of any test is the question, what did I learn? What did I learn both in the subject matter and in the testing process itself? What did I discover? So having gone through Lent and Holy Week and Bright Week now, what did I learn? Did I learn anything new about Christ in his final days, in his trial and sufferings, crucifixion and resurrection? What did we learn about ourselves? Lent and Holy Week and Bright Week too allows us to see what we're made of. To see what we're made of in our devotion to Christ and to our faith. It challenges everything you think you are in relation to God. And it seems designed to show you that as a Christian, you ain't all that. That getting to all the church services asked of you and offered to you is hard. I'm not sure it was that way for our ancestors. With the choice of laboring in their fields or in their crafts versus coming to church, maybe that choice was easy. That in a life of drudgery and labor and of constant struggle to survive, the church was the most colorful, the most beautiful, and otherworldly place in their life by far. And it may have been seen as a great relaxation and peace and joy to come out of the ordinary and spend time in the house of the Lord for the holy days. Regular life was hard. Church was something easy. But that's speculating. Anyway, concerning our experience of the holy days, we may have selective memory. We may think we did pretty well, that we logged in our time, that we did things our neighbors wouldn't dream of in terms of the self-offering of Orthodox worship. And yet, before we get carried away with ourselves, who didn't have the thought in church at some point, when is it going to be over? Or what are they singing now? Instead of your mind in heaven, your thoughts were on your aching feet. Instead of being carried to the heights, we're bent over. Or there was the thought, I'll skip this service just to rest. Or I don't do this service, I only do that one. And you thought you loved Christ. You said you did. Well, it was tested, wasn't it? It was tested. It was tested through Lent. It was tested through Lent and through Holy Week. That love was put to the test. Our love for the crucified Lord, our love for the risen Lord. Some prefer just the risen Lord. Being with the crucified Lord is hard work. But to whatever extent we commit ourselves to Lent and Holy Week, the wisdom behind it seems to be to wash all notions and feelings of self-righteousness off of us. Just forget about all those ideas of who we thought we were and how righteous and so forth. Just wash all that off if we're at all honest with ourselves. Father Schmemann used to say that what this time of the year teaches us is that it's all grace. It's all grace. The grace of God holds us up, and that when we're put to the test, we see how weak we are in truth. And that without God's grace, God's carrying us, there wouldn't be much to our efforts. And when you're young, the physicality of worship is not such an issue. But there's still the question of the heart. Are we in church for God, or are we just showing off? You know, saying, hey, watch me do all this with ease, with no problem. I can do this. The lesson of the publican and the Pharisee remains an important one throughout the year. Throughout the year. Both for young and old alike. We have no righteousness, brothers and sisters, of our own. And whatever we did accomplish, we see how quickly it all unravels in Bright Week. If we were in the Spirit in Holy Week, we find ourselves right back in the flesh in Bright Week. Such Christians. And for those outside the church who are all too happy to condemn us as hypocrites, we beat them to it. With the church's help, we see right through ourselves without any outside assistance. It helps us to know who we are. It's interesting that unbelievers, that the militant, active unbelievers, ideological ones, are, and specifically the progressive worldview of those who, while denying God, are going to save the planet and change the world, are the most self-righteous and self-congratulatory people you will ever meet. They know better. They've progressed. They've progressed away from the boundaries of Christian categories and morals and tradition. They are superior to the old backward, bigoted Christianity of their grandparents. They don't want to hear that they are sinners like us. That we're all sinners before a transcendent, holy God who is beyond our mind and thoughts. They instead want to be above it all. Above the scrutiny of tired moral laws. They're more righteous than Jesus and smarter too. They may doubt and reject God, but they retain full confidence in themselves and in their ideas. Come to think of it, so does Satan. Think. Anyway, orthodoxy, brothers and sisters, if you let it, makes you scrutinize yourself top to bottom. To check your own heart. Are you good? Are you righteous? Do you love God? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love the truth? Or do you just mostly love yourself? All of our loves get tested if we'll follow the program. And when we follow the program, we get to be protected from the delusional worldly self-righteousness that is in the air in our time. And finally, brothers and sisters, St. Thomas's doubt was not the doubt of the modern militant unbeliever full of himself. Rather, it was the doubt of a devoted disciple who was afraid to have his heart broken once more. He wanted to believe. He, with all his heart and being, wanted Jesus to be risen. He wanted the Lord to be alive in his life. As we sang last night, how wonderful is the doubt of Thomas. We would do well with such doubt as St. Thomas's. St. Thomas, who in his heart of hearts had a fervent love and desire to be with the Lord, for the Lord to be alive and to be alive in him and with him. That was the desire behind that doubt. May our faith, having been tested in the holy days, in that furnace of the holy days that have passed, may our faith be even half as strong as the faith of St. Thomas, and we will do well. We will do well through his holy prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Christ is risen.
Amen.